The 7 p.m. newscast in the English language right ahead.
Good evening. The 7 p.m. news with me, Elizabeth Mbombone Agbo. In our headlines, flood victims in Bantu Mandonde in the West region are overwhelmed with joy following the distribution of the presidential relief package, extending a message of comfort from the head of state. The Minister of Territorial Administration, Paul Atanganji, called on the population to avoid building in risk zones. The Executive Director of UN Habitats, Anna Claudia Rosbach, hails President Paul Biya for engaging the youth towards creating a better urban city. This as Cameroon joins in observing the 38th edition of the World Habitat Day today. Our in-depth segment of the news examines the strides made. In the meantime, Ethiopia's parliament has approved the appointment of a new president to replace the country's first female head of state. Those were our major stories. Stay tuned for a full development in a moment. The first Hamburg Sustainability Conference to seek ways of accelerating the attainment of SDGs and fast-tracking solutions to socio-ecological challenges faring the globe has gone on the way. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, in his keynote, invited world leaders, the academia, the business world, and international organizations to step up the momentum aimed at creating a better and healthier world for all. The Prime Minister, Head of Government, Joseph Diongute, was representing the President of the Republic at the event, amongst whom were other head of states, as Star Building correspondent Christian Che Atom reports.
The Chamber of Commerce Hall in Hamburg, Germany, was the center of reflections and actions to reinvigorate global efforts aimed at finding sustainable solutions to the socio-ecological challenges facing the world today. The opening ceremony of the Hamburg Sustainability Conference once more put on the table the dire issues of SDGs attainment, the green economy, sustainable cities, and enough financing solutions facing the world. After a welcome speech by the mayor of Hamburg, the German chancellor took to the rostrum to sound the siren and draw the attention of the international community on the need to act wisely and to act fast in order to save a world which is more and more threatened by the climate, war, and poverty. In his keynote, Olaf Scholz proposed a trinity of measures to help accelerate global solutions to challenges facing the world. A profound social transformation which leaves no one behind, taking into account the UN Agenda 2030, the setting up of a circular economy, and serious ecological transformation are the measures he proposed. The German Chancellor expressed compassion to victims of hurricanes and floods around the world, especially victims in West and Central Africa, where many are left in precarious conditions. The German Chancellor further invited world leaders to invest in sustainable development. The Prime Minister, Head of Government, Joseph Diongute, representing President Paul Biya, featured amongst the world leaders who attended the opening ceremony of the Hamburg Sustainability Conference. After the opening ceremony, panel discussions were opened, focusing mainly on business alliances as a lever for decarbonization, unlocking investments on the SDGs through better data and catalyzing policy action for sustainable and resilient agriculture and food systems. The Cameroon delegation to Hamburg is composed of a number of members of government as well as of close aides and senior officials of the PM's office. The Hamburg Sustainability Conference to seek solutions to socio-ecological problems facing the world. But organizers of the Hamburg Sustainability Conference, who are the United Nations Organization, the German Federal Government, the Michael Otto Foundation, and the City of Hamburg, say they want the conference to be one which makes a difference. Christian Chiatam, Sierra TV.
Back home, the population of Fokwe has expressed gratitude to President Paul Biya for the attention he has in their plight following floods which hit five villages of the Menwa division in the West region. The victims of Bandum and Donde villages that were hardest hit have received humanitarian assistance and a message of comfort from President Paul Biya and wife Chantal. Message delivered by Territorial Administration Minister Paula Tanganji, who supervised the distribution. 1,400 victims from 150 families are due to receive the assistance. More on that with CLTV's envoy to Fokwe, Albert Njembonde.
Grateful victims packaging their food and non-food items on motorbikes, thankful for the gesture of the presidential couple.
Mege, épouse Nana Jackie Carole. I'm a teacher in Bandung Primary School. I'm very happy. I want to say thank you to the president and Madame Chantal Biya.
My name is Blaise Tenke. My reaction is a reaction of somebody who has lost something and you come and something and give him some energy.
He is one of the victims from Bandung village, one of the five villages seriously hit by floods and landslides. But even as critical as the case may be, he doesn't intend to leave Bandung anytime soon. Over what he says is for ancestral reasons.
Grandfather has lived a very big place there. We cannot leave the village. Their corpses are there. It's not possible. I will not go to another village at any price.
And this is administration has plenty of work to do to convince the population to save their lives by avoiding risk zones.
We have brought the relief packages to support the victims, but at the same time, we are telling them that we are taking preventive measures, and when the local authorities will tell them that don't stay in a place, it's better to move before it's too late. So I think that as for now, everything is under control, and I think that the population, they are quite happy. They have sent a message that we should go and thank the presidential couple for this wonderful gesture.
A challenge which Minister Paula Tanganji is leaving behind to the administrative and local authorities. Under Governor Awafonka Augustine, who were all congratulated for stepping up measures to ensure the well-being of the population, especially at these difficult times when the rains continue to fall. Albert Njembonde, Guy Joël Noir, on special assignment, Fokwe.
Meanwhile, in response to the ongoing crisis in the far north region, the United Nations Population Fund has provided over 1,200 kits to support women and girls affected by the devastating floods. Governor Mediawa Bakari, receiving the donation, emphasized the need for collective action to aid the flood victims and ensure their well-being during this challenging time.
A wind of hope is blowing towards the flood victims in the far north region as government development partners intensify efforts to alleviate the already dire situation, particularly among women and young girls. The recent provisions of over 1,260 dignity kits by the United Nations Population Fund further strengthens ongoing relief initiatives.
Women and girls are not affected same as others during the crisis. So we aim to provide a virtual support to women and girls affected by this catastrophe in our region.
With over 24 municipalities across the region struggling to cope with the aftermath of the floods, Governor Mijiyawa Bakari has urged for unified efforts to ensure the resilience and recovery of those affected.
There is a very important package that has been put at disposal. Many women have been affected. We call upon those who have the intention to put some material commodities at risk of population.
The commitment of both the government and its partners brings renewed hope to the victims, signaling that while challenges remain, solidarity and action are paving the way for a more stable future. Marua, Faith Ngwang, CRTV.
Away from that, university institutions across the country opened their doors today for the 2024-2025 academic year. Officials of the University of Chang have revealed that they have started a scheme to inculcate civic and patriotic values in their students. The university has elaborated a plan wherein there will be a compulsory flag hoisting ceremony every Monday. Eric Lamia-Wofo of CLTV West affirms that this is one of the main innovations observed on the first day of effective start of classes on day one of the 2024-2025 academic year in the University of Chang.
The students are expected to assemble in their various schools and faculties where they are to take part in the compulsory hoisting of the flag and the singing of the national anthem. Director Professor Staffak Namfoso is to supervise the operation every last Fridays of the month. The Deputy Vice Chancellor in charge of internal control
Republic to all our students.
In the meantime, lectures have effectively started with teaching oriented towards professionalization and entrepreneurship. Abon Stifi, a year one student in the Faculty of Agronomy and Agriculture, is excited with his new course.
I hope that with the experience that the academics that will give us, I will use the engineering knowledge with the entrepreneurial knowledge at the end to be the best engineer in Cameroon.
My name is Chan Bernadette Say. I'm doing modern English letter and we have been studying literary criticism since morning.
The University of Chang has 6 classical faculties and 2 schools with our next campuses situated within and out of the West region. Eric Langmier-Wofo, CRTV News, Chang.
In the East region, many faculties of the University of Betwa officially opened their doors today. The University of Betwa's rector, Professor Emmanuel Pengnyem, was present to ensure a smooth kickoff of classes, as you tell us, Celestine Sumbele.
Students of the University of Betwa began the new academic year 2024-2025 despite the intense downpour that occurred in the early hours of the morning. The freshmen's expression were engulfed with joy and excitement in their first day of classes.
Simone Aguilio-Linga Cynthia, first level, trilingual, particularly Russian. I prefer to choose Russian because it's one of the few languages studied here in Cameroon. I'm seeing the advantages. I think that in many years and seeing now, Russian people are interacting with Cameroon.
My name is Liano Chumela Emmanuel Senchish, and I choose to do Chinese trilingual letters because I like their culture.
During an inspection visit of the several faculties, Professor Emmanuel Pekmien, rector of the University of Betwa, expressed his satisfaction with the attendance of both staff and students. Over 4,000 more students are expected to enroll this year, in addition to close to 10,000 enrolled students, thanks to the rapid growth of its faculties and departments. Celestine Sumbele, CRTV, Betwa.
Cameroon joins the international community to observe the World Habitat Day today. In that segment, delves on the strides made. Councils in Cameroon making strides to combat urban disorder and ensuring healthy environments in line with the UN goals of sustainable towns and cities have been rewarded. This was during a ceremony in Ebolova to commemorate the 38th edition of the World Habitat Day today, presided by the Minister of Housing and Urban Development, Celestine Kecha-Cotez. Clarence Azir reports from CRTV South.
The climax of the week-long activities of the World Habitat Week launched last September 30th was a gathering bringing together government ministers, mayors from across Cameroon, UN agencies and other top-ranking officials to reflect on the future of towns and cities. The representative of the Prime Minister, Minister Celestine Kecha-Cotez, revealed in her address that over 500 youths have received knowledge on how to positively impact their towns in the course of the one-week training sessions which took place in Ebolova. The Minister of Youth Affairs, on his part, pointed out that several programs have been put in place by the government to assist youths shape sustainable towns and green cities in Cameroon. In a video message addressed to countries of the Central African region, the Executive Director of UN Habitat, Madame Anna Claudia Rosbach, described President Paul Biya of Cameroon as one of the global champions who are engaging youth towards creating better urban cities. The gathering was above all to celebrate councils striving to better the living conditions of their populations. Ebolova 2 Council was ranked cleanest municipality, followed by Nkambe in the Northwest region and Mayo Dali in Adamawa. They, like the other best councils of each region, received checks varying between 10 million to 100 million francs. Bamenda in the Northwest region has been announced as next host of the grandiose event. Clarence Azzi, reporting for CRTV News in Ebolova.
The Executive Director of UN Habitat, Madame Anna Claudia Rosbach, has described President Paul Biya as one of the global champions who is engaging the youth towards creating better urban cities. She was speaking via a video message to countries of the Central African sub-region on the occasion of the World Habitat Day observed today. Here now is an excerpt of her address selected by Clarence Azzi of CRTV South.
I am pleased to welcome His Excellency Paul Biya, the head of state, as one of our global champions for youth engagement in creating a better urban future. In his message to the youth during the observance of the 58th National Youth Day, he pointed out three values that young people have and can use to construct a better future for achieving the dream of Cameroonians: vitality, cleverness, and maturity. They play a crucial role in promoting the co-creation of resilient urban landscapes and ensuring everyone has access to adequate housing and secure surface land. Since joining UN Habitat last month, I intend to focus my efforts on these key objectives. My team and I remain available to maintain communication with the government, the private sector, local and traditional authorities, and organizations led by youth and women to pursue the planning, design, development, and governance of modern cities in Cameroon and other countries in the Central Africa region.
Madame Anna Claudia Rosbach, Executive Director of UN Habitat, speaking there. The city of Douala continues to witness population growth, which comes along with more constructions. An important part of this urban development is the respect of norms and standards by the authorities in different projects, Rosalind Fosser reports.
By virtue of its geographical location, the city of Douala is one which needs more concern to make it more conducive to the population. The Douala City Council has, however, taken a lot of measures in this light, including the fight against flood and waste management. Marie Dine Azogo is deputy mayor of the city.
The city is inside the sun, inside water, and what we are struggling to make that population have a good habitation. This year, we are a bit free from inundation.
Through initiatives like the Clean City Project, everyone feels concerned with ensuring a great habitat.
To make all the habitation habitable by removing waste, by working to drain.
In terms of building, the population appreciates the growth, especially with the creation of new neighborhoods.
The city council has done great in sensitizing the population on the need to meet standards when it comes to construction. And this reflects more in new neighborhoods like Lundi.
The city of Douala in particular is experiencing some level of modernization in terms of housing and other amenities. They're meeting construction standards. That I cannot tell you for sure.
Architects like Pascal Mani, however, wish that the council should put more effort into making sure pedestrian paths and roadsides are not owned by traders. Rosling for CRTV News, Douala.
In the north region, the town of Garoua displays a new look as the days go by. A facelift that has been achieved over the years thanks to the efforts of decentralized local collectivities and the Ministry of Urban and the Ministry of Housing and Urban Development. Julius Niba tells us more.
The north region's headquarter, Garoua, is truly a modern city. And privileged to be one of the regions that hosted a pool during the 2021 AFCON, Garoua is a beaming town that welcomes its visitors any day, any time. In addition to the challenge of fully occupying the 100 low-cost housing rooms in the Boucle neighborhood, Garoua is gradually adhering to the urbanization plan. Boubacar Toumba is the regional delegate for urban development and housing for the North region.
It is a question of how land is managed. All municipalities have their limitations, so mayors cannot do without urban development planning. This because with an urban development plan, a mayor can decide that I would build a school here and I can build a hospital there. In the three municipalities of the city of Garoua, the mayors are determined to keep their council areas clean and attractive. Alum Gaga is the mayor of the Garoua 1 Council.
The council has two main markets. The small market in Yelwa and the reconstructed market, popularly known as Marché Mbororo. We also have other markets in the peripheries, like the Jambutu, Urolabo, and Jaje markets.
To officials of the North Region, World Habitat Day is an ideal opportunity to promote achievements and work towards improving housing environments far from natural calamities. Julius Neba, CRTV News, Garoua.
The active involvement of young people in shaping sustainable cities and communities is being highlighted on the occasion of the 2024 World Habitat Day. It is strongly believed that harnessing the energy and creativity of the youth, cities can be developed and can lead to a brighter future for residents. In the analysis that follows, Winston Lebga points out the crucial role young people can play in this light.
The United Nations is of the opinion that by 2050, cities will host about 70% of the world's population, which necessitates inclusive urban planning. This highlights the need to empower the youth, especially in a country like Cameroon, and involving them in urban decision-making. That is, if the country is not simply paying lip service to the project, young people have a part to play, even in the development of public policies. They can give ideas in the design of mobility systems, sustainable transportation policies, and infrastructure investments at local and regional levels. It is commonplace in Cameroon to hear the older people saying that the younger ones should patiently wait for their turn. They apply the philosophy of traditional African societies where young people keep silent in the presence of elders. But the times have changed and the challenges are enormous. Now is the time to bring the youth on board, to plan for the better towns and cities we want to see, for they can play a pivotal role in addressing the urban planning concerns.
Now let's usher in our guest, the mayor of Nkambe in the Northwest Region, Mfomu Sashe, whose council has received the award of the second cleanest municipality this Monday on the occasion of World Habitat Day. In a chat with Clarence Azee of CRTV South, he says the award is the collective effort of the entire peace-loving population of Nkambe. Take a listen.
Mr. Mfomu Sashe, you are the mayor of Nkambe, the municipality that happens to be the second cleanest in Cameroon following this day's declaration. How do you feel coming from the seat position last year to the second this year?
I feel very elated. You will see that we left from the 10 to the seat, from the seat to the second. Definitely a lot of effort, and this makes me happy on behalf of the population.
We know Nkambe is relatively peaceful than any other place in the Northwest region. What strategy do you apply on the field to make the population join you in making sure that cleanliness is a reality in Nkambe?
Thank you. Like you have said, the very first ingredient that we have established on the field is that of peace, because it is only peace that can be able to permit you to work. And this is a concerted effort. It is not a one-man show by the mayor. That's why you have the administration, religious, traditional, the youths, the women, everybody involved. Secondly, there is a very big strategy about mobilization, passing through the community radios, even religious houses we use. Thirdly, it is very inclusive, and we have made it to be a habit. We don't wait for a concours, as they call it, or a competition. So by all of this, we make sure that the cleanliness starts from each household, where on a daily basis on to the villages. And if you have the whole picture of household, quarters, villages being clean, then you have a clean city. So it's about proximity and efficiency.
This year's theme is talking about engaging youths towards building better urban cities. What do you have in mind when it comes to the Kambe municipality.
Youths represent the energy reservoir that we need. They represent the vitality, the maturity, of course, and it is in the youth that by their sheer numbers, we have the potentials to convert problems into world creation from waste. If you teach a youth today, you are already investing in the future. I can tell you that we would continue to work with the youth, we'll continue to work with the women, we'll continue to work inclusively so that it becomes an issue of a habit as we have also made it up to this point.
Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for taking our time to talk to CRTV. We want to wish you happy celebration and safe journey as you go back to Nkambe.
Thank you. The pleasure is mine.
You are listening to the 7 p.m. news and the time by our studio clock is 24 minutes after 7 p.m. Cocoa farmers in Manu Division have resolved to follow the official channels to export their harvest. The Manu Cocoa Farmers Union today organized an information session on the issue and also laid emphasis on the need to pay the expected custom duties at the border post. Kikishi Lawrence reports.
The forum comes following the concern from the Cocoa and Coffee Board that Cameroon is losing much from the illegal export of cocoa, especially to neighboring Nigeria. The organizers reiterated that farmers are free to sell their produce to any buyer, provided it is assessed and registered at the customs post. Mr. Tabe Obenbison is the president of the Manu Cocoa Farmers Union.
We will make sure ourselves helping the government that if cocoa is being taken to the warehouses in a cock, this cocoa, the custom must control this cocoa before it is exit.
Meantime, the farmers raised some challenges facing them, a major one being the poor state of the roads. Mr. Ray Mathias and Ayamba Samson are cocoa farmers who attended the meeting.
Don't have roads. If this union for create us a farm-to-market road for do our transportation. Nigeria is a lot of competition, more than the one of Cameroon. Cameroon had a system of market of which when they say a kilogram of cocoa is 800. It stands on 800, and everywhere you go, they are taking 800.
Manu Division is a major cocoa production area in the southwest region that sells much of their harvest to neighboring Nigeria. Kikishi Lawrence, CRTV, Boya.
On to foreign news. Ethiopia's parliament has approved the appointment of a new president to replace the country's first female head of state, Sahar Work Zode Tanye Astaghfirullah. Tike Salasi, foreign minister since February, has taken up the largely ceremonial role. In Ethiopia, political power lies with the prime minister. Currently, Abiy Ahmed, the president, had reportedly fallen out with the prime minister in recent years. And on to sports, Cameroon will face Kenya in Yaoundé on October 11, 2024, and in Kampala 3 days later in two Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers in Group G. Most of the players of the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon who are jetting into the country to begin preparing for those confrontations are inactive at club level over the weekend. Ben Collins near Berwo. We are sorry we will not get that report from Ben Collins. Time for us to have this press release. The Minister of Finance, considering the significant interest observed in recent days regarding the filing of tax returns, hereby informs non-professional taxpayers subject to the annual personal income tax declaration that the deadline for submission has been extended to December 1st, 2024. Additionally, the Minister of Finance commends the numerous taxpayers who have already voluntarily fulfilled this tax obligation. The Minister of Finance further emphasizes that non-compliance with this filing obligation will result in the enforcement of penalties as stipulated in the Manual of Tax Procedures. To further assist the concerned taxpayers in meeting their filing requirements, dedicated support teams have been deployed at their respective tax offices and within the Directorate General of Taxation, along with an online assistance mechanism, including a toll-free call center, 8200, an electronic assistance platform help desk accessible via the homepage of the Directorate General of Taxation's website www.support.harmony2024.gov.ng. 2.cm, a messaging service, plus 237-91-881-881, specifically for taxpayers residing abroad. The Minister of Finance counts on the compliance of all. And with that, we call it quits in this edition of the 7 p.m. news, in which you heard that flood victims in the West region are overwhelmed with joy following the distribution of the presidential relief package, extending a message of comfort from the head of state. The Minister of Territorial Administration, Paula Tanganji, called on the population to avoid building in risk zones. The Executive Director of UN Habitats, Anon Claudia Rosbach, hails President Paul Biya for engaging the youths towards creating better urban cities. This as Cameroon joins in observing the 38th edition of the World Habitat Day, and our in-depth segment of the news examine the strides attained. In the meantime, Ethiopia's parliament has approved the appointment of a new president to replace the country's first female head of state. The 7 p.m. news is a presentation of Elizabeth Mbombone Agbor.